Today's scripture reading comes from Luke chapter 12, 13 verses 21 and 32 through 34. It's the parable of the rich fool. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who sent me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do, for I have no place to store my crops?" Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also."
Thank you, Joyce. In the passage that Joyce just read, Jesus is approached by someone in the crowd who's obviously engaged in some kind of family disagreement over inheritance, probably a younger brother. I have witnessed in my ministry too many family disagreements over inheritance. And this younger brother is looking for a religious authority to give him a ruling to support his contention. The scriptures are full, especially the Old Testament, of provisions of how inheritance should be divided, and the younger brother was seeking some assistance. But Jesus, rather than giving some kind of a judgment, recalling the text in Deuteronomy or other places, saw this as a teaching moment for both the young man and the crowd and for us. And he gives a warning. Beware. Watch out. Be on guard against greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. I expect Jesus was aware that when the younger brother was raising the question, that the estrangement had already probably taken place with his older brother. And it was most likely about possessions and greed. Jesus knew that material things, no matter how fun and wonderful and useful they may be, will never truly satisfy us. We always want more. I had a brief conversation this morning before worship with Karma, and she was talking about her son, a contractor working in Montana in the Bozeman area, building homes for the very wealthy. And the extravagance and the abundance. And the question is, how much is enough? How much is enough? Material goods make very poor gods for us to worship. The Bible, throughout both testaments, makes that clear. Just as the Hebrew scriptures kept calling the people back to the worship of the God of Israel rather than other gods and material things, so Jesus continued to preach a gospel that centers on a different set of values. On the true God, not on the many petty small gods of possessions and things which so often seem to claim our lives. As you go on in this passage, what follows in this chapter is the place where Jesus is telling us not to be anxious about our possessions. Solomon had all this wealth, but the lilies of the field were even more beautiful. But we keep being anxious, worried about, do we have enough? Do we have enough? Every day, I receive multiple emails about investment strategies and ideas to get more. And they're all based on anxiety and fear and greed. Even the rich, those who are wealthy, are often worried about their future. They're afraid of losing what they have, or they want more, always more. But the reign of God is not marked by a competitive accumulation of resources, but by the abundance of God's generosity and justice. We live in a country where enormous wealth and persistent poverty stand side by side. That was so obvious for us growing up, or the boys growing up, in Benzie County, where we'd have these beautiful homes around Crystal Lake. And you didn't have to move very far off the lake to find real pockets of poverty in the county. And the gospel lesson for this morning calls us to wrestle with the question of money, material goods, and possessions. I expect all of us at times fantasize about winning the lottery, even if we don't buy a ticket. Thinking about what would life be if we didn't have to worry about having enough. And that's where the rich farmer is in this parable. He has extremely abundant harvest. And he's dreaming about not having to worry anymore. Eat, drink, and be merry is what he's thinking. This is going to be the good life. And Jesus calls this rich farmer a fool. And as Joyce introduced it, we know this as the parable of the rich fool. Now, this farmer doesn't appear to be an evil man. There's no indication that his abundance has come because he cheated somebody or he engaged in malpractice of some kind. He didn't steal his wealth. He did have the advantage of being a landowner, which very few people in that time did. But he benefited from the sun and the rain that fall, as the gospel says, on the just and the unjust, and he had an abundant harvest. So why is he a fool? Jesus says, because he is selfish and greedy. Selfish and greedy is what makes him a fool. When he has this windfall, he doesn't run into the village, into his community, announcing his plans to share his good fortune with those who were less blessed. Nor does he even seek any help in his, quote, financial planning. This parable is interesting because it's just the rich farmer, the rich fool, thinking to himself and planning for himself. In that short story, 11 times it's about I or me, never about we or us. And the only other actor is the voice of God that says, you fool, I'm calling you home tonight. What's going to happen to all those possessions? Now, it may be tempting to think that Jesus is just down on material things and wealth. But I think it's really much deeper than that. He knows the seductive power of possessions. And he wants to clear the way for us to receive a much greater joy and blessings. The rich man's anxiety about the inadequacy of his barns in many ways mirrors our own preoccupation with the way we handle our possessions, our fears, our desires for security systems, or making sure that what we have is invested wisely and safely, constantly worrying about what we have. As I said, those multiple emails daily, based on greed and anxiety. Now, it's not so much that precautions are irresponsible or sinful, but they can distract us from what's really important. Not only can they frequently do distract us from what's really important. Eugene Peterson, in his translation, his paraphrase that's known as The Message, And looking at the section in this chapter that comes immediately after this, dealing about anxiety, is pretty enlightening, where he writes, "What I'm trying to do here," this is God speaking, "what I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax, not to be so preoccupied with getting so you can respond to God's giving. Steep yourself in God reality, God initiative, God's provisions." That's, well, it's Jesus speaking. Jesus wanted his listeners to move their focus from possessions to the things that matter first to God. Trusting in God rather than things, and God's good intention to provide what is needed. We just heard in the last couple of weeks from Luke that as beloved children of God, we have a parent who wants to give us good things if we just make room in our lives for them. There is an abundance if we're all willing to share. Where Mahatma Gandhi says it a little differently on that quote at the top of the bulletin. Earth provides enough to satisfy every man's need, but not every man's greed. We can't measure. We shouldn't measure our security in accumulated goods. And it really grates on me. It's really offensive to speak of a human being's net worth as measured in dollars and cents. That's not our net worth. That's not the value of who we are. Our value is not determined by our possessions. It's not whoever has the most toys when they die wins. But yet that's how so much of our world lives by. Rather, Jesus is saying, where there's an abundance of goods, sharing is the path to joy. That was the mistake of the rich farmer, of the rich fool. He could have known an incomparable joy in the short time he had left if he had spread the abundance of his goods among the community. What did all that stuff matter when he was called home? The rich farmer was practicing what Peter Jones has called practical atheism. Living as if God does not exist. The question for us is, are we practical atheists in our lives? Saying we believe in God, but living as if God doesn't exist? frequently been said that our most powerful and accurate statement of belief is our checkbook, or in today's world, maybe our electronic bank statement. A close reading of how we use God's abundant gifts eloquently tells the story of what we really believe and in what or whom we place our trust. I think the rich farmer is called a fool because he placed his trust in abundant possessions, not in God. He was grasped by greed and self-interest rather than sharing the abundance that God had blessed him with. We come to the table this morning remembering that we are all blessed by a God who gives us generous gifts, who gives us life and the possibility of new life through God's Son. So come to the table to receive and to be empowered to share, to place your trust in what really counts, to help us move from being practical atheists to having lives that are centered in God. Amen.